A new series, which is going to kind of coincide with something I'm trying to do for the classes in the jail. We're going to do a series on dealing with emotions. Dealing with emotions is going to be the title of the series. And obviously the way of dealing with emotions has to do with biblical emotions. And we're going to look at all of those types of things. We're going to look at dealing with anger, fear, guilt, shame, go on down the list, lust, everything. We're going to look at everything. Tonight we're going to be looking at anger. And so if you'll take your Bibles, if you would, and just have them handy, because we're going to be jumping around to a lot of verses, but most of the first verses we're going to have are going to be in the book of Proverbs. So if you want to go to the book of Proverbs, you can start there. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask His help, if you would. Father, thank You for this day. And thank You for all You've given us. And thank You for the answered prayers. And Lord, just so often we ask for things and You grant it. And we just don't ever say thank You because we just kind of take it for granted. And we do thank You, Lord. You've kept us safe driving, and You've kept us safe over the holidays and provided for our needs, and You've been good to us. We thank You for that. Lord, we just thank You for the Word of God that we are about to receive tonight. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing. Help us to learn and to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says that man was created in the image of God. And so, everything that man is was given him by God, including our emotions. All right, they were all given by God. But then the fall of man came when man sinned against God. Man became corrupted, and therefore those emotions became corrupted by sin. And so, when we get saved, the idea in God's plan is that we learn to live according to the will of God and by the power of God's Spirit within us. But the simple fact is, you know, man was given emotions, and he was given emotions for a reason. The emotions of man, the problem is many times our emotions are what control us. Rather than we controlling our emotions control us. And anger is one of the worst ones because people get mad and they do things. They lash out, don't they? And they hurt people. People get mad and strike people. People get mad and say unkind and ugly things to people. People get mad and murder people. There's all kind of things. People get mad, and then that anger turns to bitterness over time, and it corrupts the person to where they don't ever have any joy. They're angry all the time. They're completely controlled by their anger. Little things can set them off. Then you have people that were in trauma, and they don't understand everything, and they're just angry every time of what they see, and they just don't know how to process and deal with it. And a lot of times when you have PTSD, one of the big things is a lot of uncontrolled anger, because they're trying to deal with everything that's inside, and they can't deal with their anger, and they're mad, they've lost friends and family, they don't understand why this happened and how it could happen, and they're angry, they're upset. Things happen in people's lives that they don't want to happen, it makes them angry. And so, with all the damage that anger has caused, why did God give us that emotion of anger? What was it there for? And I thought on this for a while, and I give you a very simple thing about this. You know, the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. It says that in Psalm 7. Psalm 7 and verse 11. He says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God gets angry every day. God looks down on the deeds of mankind, and it makes him angry. And yet, God does not lash out and release his wrath based upon anger. And that is the problem with wrath, with man's wrath. Man's wrath is 99.99% of the time motivated by anger. And that's a problem. But God is angry with the wicked. The Bible has a whole lot to say about God's anger and God's wrath, the outpouring of God's wrath. But God's anger is regulated by his character, by who he is. He does not lash out in anger. He's angry about things because, why? Because they are wrong. They are destructive. And God has anger. Alright? But he withholds his wrath because his wrath is motivated by justice and righteousness. His wrath is on the basis of justice and righteousness. We talk about parents. When we teach about parents and disciplining children, we say, do not discipline your children in anger. Why? Because that's where the things go overboard. If you discipline your children, the idea of discipline is to teach your children, to correct your children, and let your children realize that there is a consequence for sin, for wrong behavior. That's the idea. It's to teach. And we're not supposed to do that. But then again, the question comes back and says, why did God give us anger? Now, let me take you back to the fall of man. Alright? The serpent, who we know as Satan, right? Mm-hmm. Tempted Eve. And began to call a question to the Word of God. And Eve was careless with the Word of God. But then at one point, what did the devil do? He came out and he said, ye shall not surely die. Showing he knew exactly what God was saying. Now, that was the time for Eve to get angry. That was the time for Adam to get angry. When somebody questioned the Word of God. And they should have immediately called upon the Lord. And that anger should have made a difference. So there's a proper way anger is used to. We ought to get angry at things that are wicked and wrong. We ought to get angry about that. But our anger should not control us. We should not act and be controlled by the emotion. So let's take a look at that. You know, when we talk about anger, we talk about wrath. Anger is the emotion, the feeling inside. Wrath is the action that comes out of that. Alright? When we're talking about men, and that wrath is an action. It's either driven by that emotion, anger, which is wrong, or it's driven by righteousness and justice. Alright? So, Proverbs 12:16, here's where we'll start. It says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. A fool's wrath is presently known. When a fool gets angry, somebody who's foolish and doesn't believe God's word, when they get angry, most of the time that anger just comes out. It's presently known. You know about it in a hurry. But a prudent man, somebody who has understanding, realizes that that will lead them nothing to nothing but shame. So they're under control. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Somebody that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. To allow yourself to get angry at every little thing and get angry quickly, alright, you're being foolish. And a man of wicked devices is hated. Why? Somebody who gets angry all the time, they tend to sin against people all the time, and therefore they are hated. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Folly is foolishness, vanity, those type of things. But a person that's slow to wrath is of great understanding. He's a person that understands the consequences of that. Slow to wrath. But somebody that's hasty of spirit exalteth folly. You know, you ever seen people that just get mad? Boom! Yeah. And they always end up looking foolish, don't they? A soft, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away. It goes into dealing with anger and everything. How you answer things. How you speak to somebody. A soft answer. You don't have to answer in kind if somebody is unkind. You don't have to answer in kind. You don't have to answer the same way. But grievous words stir up anger. Somebody says something, gets you upset. You say something ugly back. They say something ugly back. It just keeps growing, doesn't it? And a lot of times, if we're the ones that start out being unkind, we bring up anger in other people. We provoke other people to anger. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Alright? A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Well, strife is just conflict, constant conflict and strife and enmity and anger and everything like that. A wrathful man, he stirs it up. Somebody that gets mad and then just starts lashing out by saying something or reacting or hitting or some other way of retribution or everything like that, they just stir up strife. It's bad feelings all around, and it just continues. It brings conflict. But he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Somebody that has that doesn't get angry quickly. That does not get angry quickly is somebody that appeases or reduces or prevents strife, conflict from coming up. Proverbs 16, verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. That's pretty important, isn't it? Somebody that's slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. And that shows that inside your spirit that the emotion is not to have control over you, but you have control over the emotion. And you find somebody that doesn't get angry. Have you ever noticed when we get angry we make mistakes? Have you ever noticed when we get angry, we end up doing things we regret and they're stupid? Foolish? We do, don't we? Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The discretion of a man with discretion, a man with understanding, a man that is discerning and sees looks forward and doesn't just look at the individual or his own immediate gratification. He's a person that he defers his anger. He puts it off. He doesn't respond right away. It may make him angry, but he doesn't go out. And he says it is his glory to pass over transgression. In other words, it's his glory to not respond in kind or try to punish somebody for their transgression. And by the way, that's how that's the way God is with us, doesn't he? Yep. He defers his anger, does he not? He doesn't immediately judge us for our sins, does he? No. It's his glory. It's being like the Lord. Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. And that just goes on to show a person that is of great wrath, they're going to do something wrong. They're going to get themselves into trouble. And if they don't get a hold on their anger, they're going to be right back where they were. You might deliver them out of that trouble, but they'll be back into it. Our jails and our prisons are full of people who, because of their anger and emotions, lashed out at somebody, they hurt somebody, they killed somebody, they injured somebody, they struck somebody. There's a lot of people in jail because they lashed out in anger and struck somebody, and that person, something happened, that person died, and now they're in jail for murder or manslaughter, and they're there. And there's many of them that are in there for assault. And they get in for assault, and then they get out, and they go back, and they never deal with the actual problem, and they end up being the same way. You see it in the schoolhouse too. See a little child, a teenager, whatever the case, they get in trouble because of their anger, and they're mad. They never learn to deal with the anger. They never learn to control their anger and handle things in the right way. And next thing you know, they're back in trouble again. You might get them out of trouble. You might say they might, you know, but eventually it's just going to keep going. That's the way anger is. When we talk about anger, we're talking about man's anger. We're talking about the wrath of man, not the wrath of God. We'll talk more about that in a little bit as we go on, but he said in Proverbs 21, verse 14, a gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom, strong wrath. All right? And that kind of goes back to Proverbs 15:1 and Proverbs 15:8, but a gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom, strong wrath. When you take the time to deal with somebody on a one-on-one basis and not go out and make it public and try to humiliate and shame people, it makes a difference. Remember what Jesus said, if you're praying, right? And he said, and your brother hath aught against you, leave your gift there at the altar and go be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift, right? And he said in another place, if thy brother sin against thee, what are you supposed to do first? Go and tell it to him between him and you alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Same picture here, what he's talking about. That idea of going and trying to deal with something one-on-one privately. A lot of times people do something wrong and we want to call them out in front of everybody. And make them look bad. Which could be just the outpouring of our wrath. Something to think about. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Proverbs 21, verse 24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. People that get angry because of their pride, and there shows pride as a motivation for anger. How dare they talk to me that way? How dare they do that to me? Who do they think they are? Proud wrath. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. In other words, if you sow iniquity, sin, you're going to reap vanity, and you're going to get angry, and you're going to get upset, but it's not going to do you any good. The consequences are going to come, regardless, no matter how mad you get. And you're just going to be eat up with anger. It's going to fail. It's not going to do you any good. Proverbs 22, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. In other words, if you need to avoid angry people. That's not the type of friends you want. People that are angry all the time. That are furious all the time. Proverbs 27:3 and 27:4. 27:3 says, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Alright? In other words, it causes burdens to be born, not just physical burdens, but spiritual burdens and emotional burdens and things like that. Things that you can't get rid of that easy. Things that weigh on you harder than a hard day's work. Proverbs 27 and verse 4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? There's a lot of things there we could talk about envy there, and shows how envy is a insidious thing in of itself, and that's another issue, and that's another emotion that we deal with, and we need to understand envy and jealousy and those things. When you look at those things, but he says wrath is what? Cruel. And anger is what? Outrageous. That's the way God looks at man's anger. Proverbs 29 and verse 8, scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. Wise men work to stop wrath from coming down upon them. From either the government or the enemies or God or anybody. But scornful men bring a city into a snare. People that are scornful people. Proverbs 29 and verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. You show me a man who's angry all the time, and I'll show you a man who's constantly in conflict with other people and causing conflict in other people. And you show me a man that's furious man, I'll show you an angry man, I'll show you a man who sins a lot. How many times have you either made the excuse or heard someone make the excuse about something they did wrong? Well, I was mad. That's no excuse. That is no excuse. It is no excuse. Proverbs 30 and verse 33, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. And the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. You know, you churn milk, you get butter. You grab the nose and you start pulling and twisting on it or wringing on it, you're going to give yourself a bloody nose. And if you spend all your time allowing your anger to get the better of you and being a wrathful person toward people and hitting people or cussing people or saying ugly things about people and to people and trying to hurt people and trying to get your own justice, if you will, trying to decide that you're going to get vengeance and everything like that, you're going to have a life full of conflict, a life full of strife. There's going to be no peace there. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Don't sit there and think it's some great thing to be angry all the time. And some people act like getting angry is going to solve their problems. If I get angry, people will be scared of me. No. No, it's just going to cost you in the end. It's a foolish choice. It is a foolish choice. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Here's a very interesting verse. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 22, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Now, a lot of people misunderstand this passage of Scripture, but basically, let me just lay this down to you. He says, "He that's angry with his brother without a cause." That's without a just cause. As I said, God gave you anger. All right? God gave you anger for a purpose. There are times to get angry. All right? But regardless of how we get angry, that anger is not to control us. That anger is not to govern us. But if you just get angry at people and you don't have any right reason to be angry, that you're sinning. Because much of man's anger is selfish. It's not based upon righteousness. That's why we have to teach our kids not to be ugly and unkind to one another just because somebody has something they want, something they lust after, a toy. They want to play with the toy and somebody else has the toy. So they're mad and they're going to say things ugly. But I want you to look at it. He says, "Whosoever shall be angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. But whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca," which is an insult, it's an ugly way of referring to people, it's calling them vain and worthless, empty-headed or something like that. There's a lot of different variants of that. But basically, you're saying something derogatory, ugly to them. Alright? "Shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." And that's calling people a fool, not after what God says in the Bible, but calling people a fool just to be ugly and unkind. In other words, these things are sin. But the first one is the emotion. Angry at his brother without a cause. That's the emotion. That's on the inside. The other two are wrath. Bringing out that, taking that anger out and putting it out, saying something ugly. Do you see that there? The first one's inside. The other two are outside. The other two, the second two, is wrath, the wrath of man that is driven by the internal anger. It's the sin that comes from the anger. Romans 12:19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And so even if you are just to be angry about what has happened to you, if somebody
treats you wrong, it's normal to get angry. But the question is, how do you handle that anger? Does that anger control you, handle you, or do you handle the anger? Do you put out your wrath and you try to avenge yourself? Do you do that? If you do, you're wrong. You need to give place to wrath. Why? Why? Why should you do that? Because God, vengeance belongs to God. God's going to settle every account. I don't have to worry about what whether somebody's going to get something, what they deserve for the things that they've done to me. Just like they don't have to worry about if I'm going to get what I deserve for the things that I did to them. God's going to bring everything to account. And if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to bear the penalty for all of those things yourself. But the simple fact is, we need to give place to wrath. Put it in its proper perspective. Not the wrath of man, the wrath of God. Our wrath is not to be motivated by anger. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, he says, he's talking about the works of the flesh, and he lists in verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. So all those other things, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, strife, seditions, heresies, all of those things, All of those things are equal to wrath, the wrath of man. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, it's kind of a double-edged sword there. First of all, be angry and sin not. Be angry, but don't sin. And then he says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't allow it to continue. Get it resolved. If you fail, get it resolved. Get it fixed. Get it right. Sometimes people just need to get on their knees before God and confess their anger and the things they've done out of anger. Be helpful. Ephesians 4:31 said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice is ill intent. We get angry and we start devising ways to hurt somebody or get back at somebody. That's malice. We don't like them. But notice he says, bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking, and all malice, all those things are derivatives of anger. He said, put it away from you. Put it away. And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. How many times do we say ugly, wicked things when we're angry? Put them away. Put them off. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Without wrath and doubting. Without wrath. Wrath can impact your prayer life negatively. Titus 1:7, talking about a pastor, a bishop, if you will. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Not self-willed. Not soon angry. Not given to wine. No striker. Not given to filthy lucre. That word striker means somebody that lashes out. That's a picture there that we're talking about, but not soon angry. So the pastor's supposed to be an example, and he's not supposed to get angry soon. And when he does get angry, his anger is supposed to be controlled. He's not to be a striker. He's not to be self-willed. Not to be one to lash out, be unkind. And then James chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20. And let's turn to the book of James, because I want to actually go back to verse 19 on this. Go back to turn to the book of James, if you would. Chapter 1. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, let's go back to verse 18 actually. Alright, let's go back to verse 17. He said, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So God begat us through the word of truth. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Listen. And so we have a purpose here, don't we? And he says, because of that, he said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anger in a Christian that turns to wrath, where we're deciding we're going to take matters into our own hands, and our wrath is not motivated by, we don't have the authority to do it, and so it's not within our bailiwick, our authority. It's not within our authority. That doesn't work the righteousness of God. It ruins your testimony. And we're made and intended to be a kind of first fruits. Christ is the first fruits, right? And afterward, they that are Christ, it is coming. We come back when Christ comes and we're caught up to meet him in the air, right? Christ is the first fruits. He's risen from the dead. He's got a glorified body, does he not? And one day we'll have a glorified body like him. But while we're here, we're supposed to be a kind of first fruits. We're supposed to, as much as we possibly can, live peaceably with all men. And we're supposed to, as much as we can, show the same graciousness and mercy and character of God. The character of Jesus. We're a kind of first fruits. And anger and wrath ruins that testimony. If we're controlled by anger and wrath, it ruins that testimony. And so we have to be careful about that. And we have to be honest about it. And we have to learn to trust God and realize that God's got it all under control. We don't have to take matters into our own hands. We don't have to avenge ourselves. And if there ever comes a point to where we ever have to exercise any type of wrath, it should be done in righteousness and holiness and with the proper authority. We see that in our culture. Now, there are a lot of judges that are going to have to answer to God because they allowed their anger or this or that to influence their judgment, and they allowed different things and opinions and prejudices and all these things to prejudice them against people, and they decided to just, they were going to punish them. And those type of people, those people are going to stand before God. But so are we. And we're going to have to give an account. And if we ever have a position of authority as a parent, as a boss, as a law enforcement, as a judge, or whatever the case may be, in the military, whatever, we're supposed to do things according to God's word. We're supposed to exercise that as a matter of righteousness and judge and holiness and justice. That's the way it ought to be. But wherein you and I don't have the authority, then we're to give place to wrath. We're not to allow, we're not ever to allow wrath that we must administer to be driven by anger. So there's kind of the boilerplate of what I'm trying to do for the folks in the jail. So, but I figured it's something that we need as well. So there is a whole long, I will have a whole section of list of verses and things like that as I work through this and try to get it ready for the folks in the jail. But and I will make it available to everybody here in the church as well. Once I get, as I get through these things on dealing with emotions, I will make this available to them. But I just kind of using the service to kind of walk through it and talk about it and hopefully be a blessing on that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll close out the service today. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that there's so much that's to be said about anger and wrath. And Lord, there's probably many other passages of Scriptures and examples and things that we could show the opportunity that we have and to learn. But not, Lord, not just learn, but grow and by faith trust you and respond and manage our anger in the way that you want us to do. To yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, to yield ourselves to the Word of God, and to just humble ourselves and respond in the way we ought. So Lord, help us to be angry and sin not. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.